Congress is trying to save our sequoias, but do they have the constitutional authority to actually do that? Also, since when is it the federal government's job to create jobs? All that and more in today's episode. I'm your host, Joel Whitmire. This is the Freeman's Podcast with the Nehemiah Initiative. Okay, so as always, we're going to look at some bills that Congress is trying to pass. Today, we're looking at a bill on Congress wanting to save the sequoias. That's going to be the first one, and then we'll get into the second one in a second, I guess a few minutes from now. But anyways, we're going to look at what this bill is actually proposing, whether it's constitutional or not, and how it affects our liberty from a biblical worldview. So H.R. 2709, this passed the House. This is Save Our Sequoias Act. It was introduced last April, actually close to a year from now, by the time you're listening to this, that is. So what this bill provides for the conservation of giant sequoia trees in California. I don't know where anywhere else they would be in the U.S., but in California. Specifically, it provides statutory authority for the Giant Sequoias Lands Coalition. So I don't know if that's going to be some kind of government agency, but it is a coalition, and it has it has government authority being granted in this law. And it outlines the coalition's duties. So it sets up and gives the authority for the Giant Sequoias Lands Coalition, and it outlines the coalition's duties. So the coalition must submit a giant sequoia health and resiliency assessment annually and update it annually. The information from the assessment must be made available so the information can be integrated into certain other plans. The coalition must also create and maintain a website that contains the assessment, education materials, searchable information about individual giant sequoia groves, and a searchable database to track the status and cost of reforestation, if that's how you say that, and rehabilitation activities. In addition, the bill declares an emergency on certain public lands and allows officials to carry out protection plans during the emergency to respond to the threat of wildfires, insects, and drought. The emergency expires after 7 years. And the last part of this, actually, I guess there's two more parts, but they're pretty short. The Department of the Interior must develop and implement a giant sequoia reforestation and rehabilitation strategy. And finally, the bill establishes a variety of programs and funds to support the conservation of giant sequoias. Okay, that was a mouthful. Basically, what this does is this is where Congress is giving power to the Giant Sequoia Land Coalition and giving them duties. They have to, you know, make assessments. They have to update those assessments on how those trees are doing annually. The information from the assessment must be made available so it can, hopefully that information can help with other plans. They have to create a website so people can go search, look at the assessment, find out some education on it. Searchable information about giant sequoia groves, and they have to also have a database to track the status of costs of the reforestation and rehabilitation activities. Okay, so that's pretty straightforward in how the government would create some kind of agency or coalition to do a specific thing. Now, how does it match up with the Constitution? According to Congress, Congress has the power to enact this legislation pursuant to the following: Article 4, Section 3, Clause 2, and Article 1, Section 8, Clause 18 of the United States Constitution. One thing I had to say about this, I actually really appreciate that they put a lot more effort to tell you exactly where they believe they have the power to do this. As we'll look at some of these articles, some of the things that they just said where they're getting the power, and then what the Constitution says versus what the founders intended. I'm not going to give it away yet, but I hope that you will see. Actually, I'm going to go ahead and say it. This, unfortunately, isn't going to be constitutional. Anyways, I have a lot to say about this, but I want to get into this first, and I keep trying to get ahead of myself. Sorry about that. So, Article 4, Section 3, Clause 2. This is where they get their claim they have the power, the main power, to make this law. This Article 4, part of the Constitution, it states, "The Congress shall have power to dispose of and make all needful rules and regulations respecting the territory or other property belonging to the United States and nothing in this Constitution shall be so construed as to prejudice any claims of the United States or any particular state. So basically, it's stating that Congress has the power to make, to dispose of and make rules and regulations respecting the territory or other property belonging to the United States. Okay, pretty straightforward. Sounds like there's actually something to this, maybe. Article 1, Section 8, Clause 18. This is the spending, or excuse me, this is the necessary and proper clause that we talk about all the time on this on these episodes. This is where it states Congress has the power to make all laws which shall be necessary and proper for carrying into execution the foregoing powers. That's the other 17 powers listed out in Article 1, Section 8. In all other powers vested by the Constitution in the government of the United States or in any department or officer thereof. So basically, this is saying Congress has the power to make any laws that are proper and necessary to help them carry out any of the other powers listed in the Constitution, specifically those listed in Article 1, Section 8, where those 18 powers that affect the rest of us, or anything else that has to do with internal things that the federal government has authority over. Now, question. Did the federal government have the power to buy the land on which these giant sequoias and even other national forests, did they have the authority to buy that land in the first place? So Article 1, Section 8, Clause 17, right before that necessary and proper one, states that Congress has the power to exercise exclusive legislation in all cases whatsoever over such district, not exceeding, I'm going to skip over this part because this is saying they have the power to make all rules and regulations, all exclusive legislation in all cases whatsoever over the District of Columbia or DC. But the part I wanted to look into here was where it also says, there it is. Oh yeah. So, and to exercise like authority, so they have the ability to make all, any legislation in all cases whatsoever, this like authority over all places purchased by the consent of the, purchased. I need to actually read this. I'm so sorry, guys. Yes. So they have the authority to exercise exclusive legislation in all cases whatsoever over all places purchased by the consent of the legislature of the state in which the same shall be for the erection of forts, magazines, arsenals, dockyards, and other needful buildings. Okay, so what this is saying is that they have the authority to exercise, make laws in all cases whatsoever. So that's pretty broad for the District of Columbia, or DC, sorry. They were just saying the district, and it just stuck in my head. Or in any land that they've bought from the states. But here's the thing. They can't just buy land for just anything. It has to be buying land in pursuit of something that the Constitution allows, like erecting forts, magazines, arsenals. That's where they would store ammunition and weapons. Or dockyards for the Navy. And other needful buildings, and that might be a little vague, but that is also context talking about things to do with our military. So they would have the authority to make laws on land purchased by the federal government, but the Constitution only allows the federal government to purchase land for these types of things, like the forts, the magazines, arsenals, dockyards, those types of things. It doesn't give, the Constitution does not give the federal government the authority, the power to purchase land for just any reason, especially for things like national parks. Now, I love national parks, but again, there's no Constitution enumerated power for the federal government to create or hold them. Now, Article 1, Section 8, it lays out those 18 powers, and these are powers that the Constitution enumerates or grants the federal government to make laws. These 18 powers deal with external things that affect the whole country. There are some exceptions, but those have to do with internal things, internal powers. And this would be some of those internal powers. But those things, those internal powers in Article 1, Section 8, those 18 powers, none of them have to do with creating national forest or even something to save the sequoias. Now, all that being said, if we wanted the federal government to have the authority for the whole country to say, yes, we want national parks, which I love national parks and I want them. If we want the federal government to be able to have that, then we have to pass a constitutional amendment to give them the authority. And it could be very short. Just keep it general but limited, so it's structured. That would give them the authority to, oh, and by the way, you can also purchase land for something like national parks. We could do that. Now, how would this bill affect our liberty from a biblical worldview? The Bible teaches us that mankind is supposed to have dominion over the earth. That you can see that in Genesis 1 and 2, where God created us in his image and said, let them have dominion. Taking dominion isn't a destructive act. It's an act of stewardship under God. We are stewarding God's creation. And a national park, again, might be one of the best ways we as an entire country can do that. But if we want to do this by the rule of law, again, so that we can keep protecting each other's rights and liberty, and we can keep being good stewards, then we need to pass a constitutional amendment to allow the federal government the power to create and maintain national parks. Doing it this way gives structure and limits the federal government, which goes in line with a biblical worldview that teaches that government should be limited, and it helps establish and maintain the rule of law, which then, again, protects our liberty. I love the idea of national parks. I love the idea of even protecting the sequoias. Those things are amazing. I can't wait to see them in person one day. But there's a right way we can do this, so that way we are all in agreement and we are all protecting each other's rights and liberty through the rule of law by the Constitution. So, that's Save the Sequoias Act. The second bill we're going to look at today is H.R. 7342. This one was introduced back in February of this year, and it's already passed the House. This is Made in America Jobs Act, which I love Made in America. I love Toby Keith's song. Yeah, that's actually something I listen to quite often. But anyways, this bill, let's look into what this bill actually is proposing and how it would affect us. This bill expands the criteria for various 8 grants under the Economic Development Administration's Public Works Program to include projects that facilitate the relocation of employment opportunities into the United States or the growth of the manufacturing sector. Again, these things are so wordy. Like, it's a lot better than the actual law, because I'm reading, this is a summation of it, but good grief. So, real quick, there's 2 parts to this. I'm going to get into the second part in a second, but basically what this bill does is that it tells the administrative agency, the Economic Development Administration, to expand its grants, where it gives money, to include things that would incentivize companies to build jobs here in the U.S. Okay. I like the idea of incentivizing instead of actually trying to create jobs, but the way the federal government creates jobs, I'm putting that in air quotes for anybody listening, is they give money out. So the second part of this, specifically, the bill modifies grants for 1, public works and economic development, which is pretty vague because I believe that eminent domain's been used in Walmart's favor for economic development, again in air quotes. But it also modifies grants for 2, planning and administrative expenses, and 3, training, research, and technical assistance, and 4, regions experience adverse economic changes. So again, this bill is telling the Economic Development Administration to expand its grants to include things that would incentivize companies to build jobs here in the U.S. So how does this match up with the U.S. Constitution? Congress says that they have the power to enact this legislation pursuant to the following Article 1, Section 8 of the U.S. Constitution. Again, they're being vague. They don't tell us exactly where it's coming from, so we can look at it and go, that's not what that means. They're just saying, oh, nope, it's just in there. Now, Article 1, Section 8 is what sets out, again, those 18 powers that Congress has to make laws. These powers granted in Article 1, Section 8 have to do with things that affect the whole country. The exceptions to these are powers listed throughout the Constitution that allows the federal government to deal with federal issues, things that deal with internal things with the federal government. And those things are like power to make laws and regulations for territory, which we talked about a minute ago, the power to call for amendments to the Constitution, the power to regulate jurisdiction of the courts, and where certain trials will be held, and also the power to make some regulations for federal elections. So those are just some of the exceptions to this. But the things that affect the rest of us, those are those 18 powers listed in Article 1, Section 8. This is where they claim they have that power. So of those 18 powers, again, there are usually three that they try to pull from that they abuse, and I say they, this has been going on for a long time, that they claim that this, it's this one or any one of these three that give them the power to make these types of laws. But, and that would be the spending clause, the commerce clause, or the necessary and proper clause. And I would say it can't be the spending clause because that power only allows money to be spent for debt, national defense, the general welfare. But in the general welfare, as defined by the founders, it meant only those things that are defined in the remaining 17 powers. So if you think about that, so far, there's nothing in the Constitution in those 17 powers to create jobs. So it's also not the necessary and proper clause, because that's only necessary and proper laws. They're allowed to make those types of laws that are necessary and proper, that deal with those 17 powers that go before it. And then you have the Commerce Clause. This one is often very abused as well. And I would say, and this is probably where they're thinking this is coming from, because they're like, oh, commerce, jobs, you know, business, industry, those types of things. But it's not going to work with the Commerce Clause as the founders understood it, and as I believe we should understood it, that way it's, understand it so that it, bleh, so that way our government stays limited. And it can't be that, because that's, okay, I'll say it this way. The Commerce Clause, as defined by the founders, gives the federal government the power to regulate commerce among the several states. Now, commerce, as understood by our founders, was the trading of goods. And among the several states meant that Congress can only regulate the trading of goods that only happens with more than one state. So it can't deal with things that are internal in the state. It can't deal with internal commerce that only happens in the state. And it can't deal regulate business in general that has nothing to do with the trading of goods or commerce. And it definitely has no authority to create jobs or even regulate jobs. So it can't be the Commerce Clause. Congress does not have the power to pass a law like this, even if they wanted, even if we wanted them to, that would help incentivize job creation. The federal government doesn't have the authority to do this at all. The Commerce Clause does not give it to them. So the federal government cannot and does not, A, have the power, and it cannot, it can't create jobs. And we shouldn't look to the federal government to do that. We should look to it to abide in its constitutional limits so we are free to create jobs among ourselves. So how would this law affect our liberty and rights from a biblical worldview? I feel like a broken record because we're going to talk about the rule of law again. Congress has to abide by the rule of law, or our God-given rights and liberty are going to be in a constant state of jeopardy. According to Proverbs 2 and Romans 13, government has the job to administer justice and righteousness and be God's servant for our good. And that would be, I would argue, is to protect our rights and liberty, to ensure justice. They also have the authority, the God-given authority, to punish evildoers and protect the innocent. Proverbs 11:1 states, "A false balance is an abomination to the Lord, but a just weight is his delight." Now, government's job isn't supposed to create jobs, but it is to maintain a just economic system, one that has just weights and measures, talking about, you know, monetary systems and those types of things, so that people can create jobs themselves and people can flourish. Like, that's God's design. Like, yes, government's job in economics is to simply maintain a just economic system. Now, Ecclesiastes 3 says, "I perceive that there is nothing better for them than to be joyful and to do good as long as they live. Also, that everyone should eat and drink and take pleasure in all his toil. This is God's gift to man. Ecclesiastes 3, 12 through 13. This passage to me is a great picture of what liberty is. And government is supposed to protect this gift from God and not try to meddle with it, not try to create jobs or try to do things that God has assigned to us to do and stepping out of its lane from just maintaining the just economic system. So we looked at whether or not Congress has the constitutional authority to protect our sequoias. And as of right now, the way the Constitution is, no, they don't. If we want them to, we would need to pass a constitutional amendment, which you might have actually a lot of people in favor of that. Also, we looked at this last one where Congress is trying to create job, or how did they say it? It's titled, it's right here, oops, Made in America Jobs Act, where they're trying to incentivize through federal grants companies to create jobs here in the U.S., but they don't have the constitutional authority, specifically in the Commerce Clause, to do that, as I would argue that the Commerce Clause needs to be defined limitedly like our founding fathers intended it to be. So I hope this was helpful. Again, my heart and desire in bringing up these types of laws and these proposed bills to you guys is to just that we're aware of what our representatives are doing in our name. And yeah, if you thought it was helpful, I ask you, share it with a friend, like and subscribe, drop a comment if you have something to say about it. Hit that bell so you can get notified when we drop new episodes. And yeah, thanks again for listening, y'all. God bless.